You spend lots of time optimizing your portfolio, researching positions, managing risk, and leveraging the power of compounding. So, here's a question you need to take seriously. What could poor sleep actually be costing you? We know that sleep deprivation can degrade your cognitive performance, decision quality, emotional regulation, and temperature is a key factor in determining quality sleep. Finally, the temperature regulation challenge has been solved by the ChiliPad 2.0, a water-based mattress topper. It actively controls your bed temperature from 55 to 115 degrees all night to get you into deep, restorative sleep faster and keep you there longer. It works on your existing mattress, so a new bed is not needed. Visit www.sleep.me/invest to get up to $255 off a ChiliPad 2.0. This special offer is available for InvestTalk listeners and only for a limited time. Order it today and get your 30-day sleep trial with free shipping and free returns. Go to www.sleep.me/invest and see why cool sleep is worth every cent.
This is InvestTalk from KPP Financial, helping investors make sense of the markets one day at a time. Here's your host, Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to InvestTalk. This is our Wednesday, June 24th, 2026 edition of InvestTalk. Appreciate you all tuning in for this hour. A lot to unpack in today's market with so much going on geopolitically, with central banks, with fiscal policy. And then we have a massive IPO schedule that has already kicked off with the IPO of SpaceX and many more to come throughout the year. So this year looks to be what, in hindsight, will probably be an inflection year in some way, shape, or form. Now, is that more politically? Is that more monetarily? Is that more from a leadership perspective? We shall see. But bottom line is we are seeing a lot of volatility, a lot of increased volatility in markets. And that usually means the start of new leadership, new trends. And that's what we are here to help you with. Unpack what we are seeing and give you a sense of how to navigate times like these, unprecedented times like these. Now, I'm Justin Klein. And our objective, as always, to help you become a better investor. We do that by answering your finance and investment questions and bringing you data and perspective developed with over 25 years of investment experience so that you can make better decisions with your money. Making decisions out of facts on the ground as opposed to fear and greed. So I'm excited, as always, to connect with you for the next hour. So don't hesitate to give us a call, 888-99-CHART. Now, our next wealth webinar is coming up in less than a week, Tuesday, June 30th, 12 to 1 p.m. Pacific time, 6 days away. The title is Beyond the Yield, How to Invest for Your Income Needs. It's free, but you must register over at investtalk.com. Now, just a bit, I'll talk about today's market performance and run down the show topics. But as usual, we'll tackle this first caller question now.
Hello. I'm just wondering what you think about Roblox, RBLX. I was always impressed by the large number of users it has, young users, and thinking that might turn into, they turn older and they use it even more and they have, their kids use it or whatever. I was just wondering whether you think it's time to sell it. Thanks. Bye.
Looking at Roblox, RBLX is the symbol. Before I get into the details of this company in general, I want to first talk broadly about that first comment the caller made, which is, hey, there's a lot of demand. A lot of kids use it. And that make automatically makes it potentially a good investment. And the reality couldn't be further from the truth. Demand for a product is not, I wouldn't even say it's the most important factor for long-term success. Now, short-term, yes. But over the long-term, it's about the economics of the overall business. Demand is going to ebb and flow. Problem is that even when there's high demand, could be losing money, could be negatively accretive to the shareholder. If you look at Roblox, historically, it has never made money. Can you believe that? Think about all the kids, as Lacalle said, all the kids that use Roblox and buy Robux, and they've never made money. Can you believe that? Well, I can. Very simple. They have negative economics. Go look at return on invested capital, negative 51.3%. A lot of people look at Roblox, and there's one aspect that people will cling to, and they'll say, well, look at its cash flow. It has positive free cash flow. That continues to go up and up and up. And that's true. That is, say, one little saving grace here. The problem is that it's not accounting, free cash flow does not account for stock-based compensation. And that is clearly how they are financing their business, how they're paying employees. That stock-based compensation does not show up in free cash flow. So if you go look at number of shares outstanding in 2020, there were 546 million shares. This was in September of 2020. Now, there's 715 million shares outstanding. That is that's about 30, 40% growth in the number of shares outstanding. So the net income remains negative. And then you go look at the chart. Relative strength is 7, not 70, not 17, 7. That means 93% of stocks in the last year have done better than Roblox. It peaked back in September of last year, about 160, 150 something. What is it? Yeah, it's down 68% from its 52-week high. So yeah, to me, this is an easy sell. Demand does not mean it's a great investment. Now, it can be a place to start. You see a certain product or service in demand. Yeah, it's a good place to start your search or your research, but it should not be the end of your research. The end should be saying, hey, this is a great business. I want to own this business because it has a great business. It creates value for me, the potential shareholder. And it does that consistently at a high level over time. Roblox is the opposite. So I would stay away. Now, we had a great show yesterday. We looked into this story, AI spending paradox, hyperscalers left behind as the trade evolves. We also answered questions about stock symbol LMT, Lockheed Martin, submitted through our YouTube channel. And if you happen to miss it, go check it out. Best way to get every Invest Talk show is wherever you get your podcasts. We have a lot of ground to cover over the next 45 minutes or so, and time permitting, we'll get to all of it. Our main focus point concerns the story, Fed speak versus geopolitics, which force actually drives markets more. This past week delivered a rare natural experiment, major Fed communications with the Fed meeting last week, and then the Middle East ceasefire. Happened about the same time, giving investors a live stress test of what truly moves markets, dissecting what force has more power over stock prices, bond yield, the dollar, etc. So we'll dig into that story. In addition, we'll talk about perpetual futures. This could be shaking up the investment markets. So we'll talk about that. Also, are option markets telling us something about where we are in this phase of the bull market? I want to get to that. And then if we have time, how good was AI at actually making trades? I always like to check in on this because AI will get better over time, but will it be good enough to become a good trader? We've covered this before, but it's been a number of months and we'll get an updated study. We also have questions from our voice bank. One is on the Japanese yen, then Toast, T-O-S-T. And of course, questions that came in via the comment section on the Invest Talk YouTube channel. But most importantly, will be your live calls. But we're going to head to a quick break. Please remember, you can call anytime and leave your question on the Invest Talk voice bank. And if you're listening via our live stream or possibly on AM 1220 in the Bay Area, you can call right now at 888-99-CHART. Up next, I will comment on today's market activity.
This is Invest Talk. now closing in on 63 million downloads. And Justin Klein is here taking your questions live. 888-99-CHART.
Let's go take a quick look at the market today. We had the Dow up about a third of 1%, S&P slightly in negative territory, the NASDAQ down about 43 basis points, nearly half a percent there. The Russell 2000, though, was actually positive by about a third of 1% as well. So certainly a mixed bag overall. We had Micron earnings after hours. That certainly will move markets tomorrow. But you continue to see weakness out of some of the Mag 7 names. Actually, all the Mag 7 names are down today. Apple down slightly, same with Google. NVIDIA down about half a percent, Microsoft down a little over 2%, Meta down nearly 1%, Tesla down about 1.5% as well. But if you look at the rest of the market, you had some pretty decent gains in areas like healthcare. Amgen up 1.25%, for example. Industrials, product manufacturing, that was relatively strong. 3M up 2.5% on the day. You had energy markets down. So Exxon down over 2%, same with Chevron. There's some weakness there. Utilities a bit stronger with yields that were down a bit. Yields down about 8 to 9 basis points at the back end of the curve. That's kind of a bit of a positive overall. Dollar index up 0.2%. Gold down 3.4, just above 4,000 an ounce. Silver was off 6.4%, so big move there. I'm starting to see sentiment capitulation in gold and silver, something I've been watching. Bitcoin futures down 4.1%. More pressure coming out of MicroStrategy and, what was it, STRC? The one that was promising double-digit yields, and now it's already down 20% from its par value. So, as we always say, there's all this, there's no free lunch here. And you're certainly seeing that in the Bitcoin market and anything related to Bitcoin. WTI was down 30.4% with prices below $70 a barrel, the lowest level in many, many months. So that was the market today. Once again, you're getting a lot of volatility. There's still a lot of angst and worry about the AI trade and end demand for AI compute. That's something that's going to evolve, I think, for the rest of the year. See where the market really settles on longer term growth, because clearly right now the long term growth expectations are too high within the space. So I think there's going to be a readjustment there. It's just a matter of how painful that will that be for the tech sector. You do have home sales. May new home sales increased 580,000 versus consensus for 640,000. April was revised, though, up a little bit. But May was the weakest since January of this year. Medium sales price, though, was still up 2% month over month and unchanged year over year. So despite the low level of sales, prices remain strong. So that was the market today. Very interesting kind of mix as we move throughout this week with, like I said, Micron had earnings that's up after hours. So that should give a positive impulse for tomorrow. But this is in light trading. Things could change dramatically between now and tomorrow's close. So very interesting to watch how the reaction is in markets from that earnings. That was the market today, but we're going to head into a quick break. Please remember, you can call anytime and leave your question on the InvestTalk Voice Bank. And if you're listening via our live stream or possibly on AM 1220 in the Bay Area, you can call right now at 888-99-CHART. Up next, I'll comment on today's market activity.
It's coming up fast. An all-new InvestTalk Wealth Webinar. Beyond the Yield, how to invest for your income needs. This coming Tuesday, June 30th, noon to 1 Pacific Time. Online and free of charge. But you must pre-register at investtalk.com. And now the InvestTalk phone lines are open, 888-99-CHART.
Let's talk about this bull market. Bottomed in, what was that, fall of 2022? And have been really powering higher ever since. So we're going on nearly 4 years of this bull market. And a lot of people point to valuations. And when valuations are this high, especially in the tech sector, forward returns tend to be fairly poor. But we all know that valuation is a horrible timing mechanism. But markets usually peak on euphoria. That's usually a better timing mechanism. As when investors are taking just insane risk where they can't be taking really more. It has to just go the other way of taking less. And once the tide starts to turn, then momentum can then create a major drop in equities. That's the process of these, we call them bubbles, but you know, the end of bull markets. The question is, has that phase arrived? We've talked about the SpaceX IPO for the past few weeks, briefly trading over $2 trillion in value, now coming back down to earth, but trading at 100 plus times revenue that's what they're looking at is that valuation because they don't make money. They lost $5 billion last year. I saw the most interesting question. Who was it? I think it was. It's actually a famous trader. I think it was Ackman, Bill Ackman. And he said something along the lines of the real value in SpaceX is that it has high value. And he was arguing that they were going to use that equity to go buy other companies, which they did recently, paying $60 billion for an AI coding firm named Cursor. Which on its face kind of reminds me of that equities is in the late 1920s. Some writer, I forgot who it was, but said equities have reached a high and permanent plateau. Kind of reminds me of that. Now, once again, I'm not predicting a crash or anything like that. I'm just saying there are signs that euphoria is way beyond reality. One of the best indicators of that today is actually the options market, an area where it's about leverage, it's about big bets, it's about gambling on stock prices, basically. Now, volumes of options have now nearly doubled since 2020, and that itself was a year of record option volume. The CME Group says that transactions for options on the S&P 500 that expire on the same day were 3.7 times higher in 2025 than in 2021. So options volume is massive compared to what it used to be. Options there's calls and there's puts. Historically, puts are more valuable than calls. Why? Because markets tend to rise slowly, then plunge quickly. So downside volatility, when it's realized, tends to be higher, tends to create bigger moves. Therefore, when you're buying puts, you're going to pay up because if you're correct, your payoff's probably going to be higher. Versus if you're buying calls, well, it tends to kind of grind higher and you don't really, you know, if you're right, you might make money, might still be in the money, but won't be likely as big of a profit. So what's interesting is that the average call option for stocks in the NASDAQ is now almost as expensive as the average put. So the market is now pricing upside volatility being nearly as much as potentially downside volatility. And this is a sign that we're entering a phase where things are just getting out of hand. And it's a sign that we're in the latter innings of this bull market. Problem is that the longer it kind of goes on, the bigger the potential hangover, but it can go once again on longer than you realize. Now, the next Invest Talk, we'll look into the story. Minimum wage and inflation. What higher labor costs really mean for your portfolio. Raising the minimum wage has been a political winner, for years, but it's now running into stiff resistance as inflation concerns take center stage. For investors, the debate cuts to the heart of corporate margins, consumer spending power, and the Fed's inflation-fighting mandate. We'll dig into that story tomorrow, but for now, I'm Justin Klein, and we're ready to take your calls anytime at 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk is ready 24/7 for your finance and investment questions.
I'm hoping you'll give me your take on Ormat Technologies, ORA.
Is it a good idea to sell your losses in a Roth IRA and just use whatever you have left to reinvest into better stocks?
Don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
At KPP Financial, accountability means more than advice. It means we invest alongside you. Through our parallel investing approach, when we recommend an investment for clients, one or more KPP principals invest their own capital at the same time. Same day, same price, same percentage. If your portfolio moves, ours does too. That is alignment. That is transparency. That is the KPP difference. Visit investtalk.com to get your free portfolio review.
In the early days, InvestTalk was Jerry Klein and Steve Peasley. Now the torch has been passed and a new generation of hosts is on the job, Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero. So when you've got finance and investment questions, don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Our focus point today concerns this story, Fed speak versus geopolitics. Which force actually drives markets more? The last week was a great test case.
Stop guessing with supplements. Most of us take vitamins blindly, wasting time and money. Your body is unique. And it deserves better. Introducing True Diagnostic, an easy at-home health test. With a quick finger prick, True Diagnostic uses advanced epigenetic testing to analyze over 1 million data points and measure up to 180 biomarkers. You will receive clear digital results with a personalized 90-day actionable plan to improve health, boost energy, and slow down your aging process. There is absolutely no guesswork and no generic advice. Right now, my listeners can get 20% off at TrueDiagnostic.com using code INVEST20 at checkout. That's TrueDiagnostic.com and use code INVEST20 for 20% off today. Choose True Age, True Health, or the Combo Kit as a one-time purchase or subscription. True Diagnostic, spelled TrueDiagnostic.com. Use code INVEST20 for 20% off today.
Case for getting that answer. We had the Fed meeting on Wednesday. We had a what seemed to be a peace deal that may end the Iran conflicts. Still kind of TBD on that side, but either way, they both were impactful. But which one had more power over stock prices, bond yields, the dollar, etc.? And how do you, can you think about that going forward? Now, last week, equities did rally a little bit. So you could say, hey, the resolution of the Iran conflict had more impact because the Fed policy was a bit hawkish. But then you look underneath the surface and you say, well, the trends are saying something different, right? The sector trends, shall we say. You had May retail sales. They were better than expected, up 0.9% month over month. Industrial production edged up, what, 0.1%. So that's the manufacturing sector, at least domestically, was on decent footing. So the economy was holding up. But then the Fed meeting came in on June 17th, a week ago. And it was pretty unanimous. It was a hawkish shift, the hawkish expectations were built in going forward. And the market reacted accordingly. Especially yesterday. Big move down. What you have to remember is that oftentimes the first few days after a Fed meeting is still jockeying for position. Is the market still kind of digesting what this means? And now since the Fed meeting, broad equities are down, especially growth-related ones like the NASDAQ. So the Qs open the day on the 17th around 7:34. Now we're down to 7:11 or so. Not a big move, but certainly a down move. And that's all with what seems to be positive resolution, at least steps towards a positive resolution in the Middle East. So which force has a bigger impact over the long run, the Fed or politics, geopolitics? The simple answer is the Fed. While geopolitics make the biggest headlines and probably are the most interesting, geopolitics tend to move slowly. And big news is usually overblown because there's adjustments made. But when the Fed moves, that's the cost of capital. That permeates throughout the world, throughout capital markets around the globe, especially when the Fed takes action. Interest rates tend to act as kind of financial gravity for asset prices. When they go up, that competes. Those risk-free rates compete with risky assets. And that's why there tends to be a bearish impact of more hawkish Fed rhetoric. So unless geopolitics permanently alter the way business is done, the market generally starts to look through it, especially in a globalized world, you know, globalized economy where, once again, companies can shift their supply chains, where they get their products, where they get their energy needs fulfilled, etc. Then you look at the dollar. The dollar is another tell here. Usually, if you had the resolution of what's going on with the United States and Iran, that's going to trigger a risk-on environment. That usually means a weaker dollar because money flows from safe haven assets to risky assets. But what's happened recently? The dollar is actually up to a one-year high. Why? Because the market is focusing more on hawkish Fed rhetoric. So the moral of the story here is, while the sexy headlines, the ones that garner the most attention by the average person, maybe even on CNBC, while that is more interesting, it oftentimes is the boring headline, the boring facts about, you know, money creation, bank lending, kind of financial plumbing. Those are the things that actually matter far more than most of the headlines you see. Now let's go squeeze in another listener question now.
Hey, Justin and Luke. Just have a question about Toast, T-O-S-T. I've just been interested in this company for a while and just wanted to know your guys' take on it. Seems like an interesting company and seems like it could be worth investing in. And just kind of my understanding of it looks like it engages in just consumer payment applications and just has been going down 40% over the last year. And just curious on if this software might take off later on and just want to know your guys' take. Thank you.
Looking at Toast, this is a name that we actually own for clients. We are down a little bit, but it's starting to turn around. Today it was up 6.1% on the day, $26.01. Why do we like Toast and why is it down so much? Well, it's down because it's being lumped in with the software patch, software companies. And it certainly is software. It's a SaaS business, software as a service. But in our minds, it actually has an economic moat that prevents AI from really undermining their business. Think about it. The main reason why AI software stocks have been down is because a lot of the companies that use their products, well, they're starting to, they have the staff, they have the know-how to bring up Claude Code and vibe code their own type of solution that's similar to what maybe these SaaS, other SaaS companies offer. Toast is a bit different. Number one, their client base, they're restaurant owners. Now, some restaurant owners may be fairly technologically sophisticated, but most aren't. Most are focused on building a menu, executing the kitchen, managing people, all of that. Then there's the hardware side, where the ordering system is linked up with the register. So when you place an order on the register, if you're using Toast as an ecosystem in a restaurant, it's routed straight to the kitchen. So that whole ecosystem is very sticky and hard for, I think, the average restaurant owner to just replace. Are they going to go and build their own cashier or register that will link in with some software that they vibe code with Claude? Unlikely, very unlikely, right? And so to us, this is one of, if not the best opportunity in the software patch. Because you also go look at things like the balance sheet, where they have about $2.5 billion in net cash on a market cap of $15 billion. Free cash flow is $650 million. About a 4.5% free cash flow yield. Actually higher than that because you're going to base on enterprise value. You're looking closer to 5%. Return on invested capital, 21%. Very high. Return on equity, also 21%. And all these numbers are moving higher. And most importantly, this is something we were looking for. One of the reasons why we're even more bullish on it now is that they were issuing a ton of shares. From 2021, they had 502 million shares outstanding, and they peaked out recently at 589 million shares outstanding. So pretty decent increase in total shares. But as shares have gone down and their balance sheet is so clean, now they're actually buying back shares for the first time really in the history of the business. Then you look at the chart, it's starting to slow its momentum to the downside. In fact, it's actually, if you go look at the low from February, it's actually above that low. They make a lower low recently, but it's starting to continue to test this 100-day moving average, and it's hit that a few times. And the more you bang on a particular resistance point, the higher chance that has to break out to the upside. And I think Toast is on the precipice of that. So I would continue to buy Toast, and we are buying Toast. Let's play two in a row from 8899 chart.
Hey, Justin. This is Shane. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on the Japanese yen carry trade and how that's going to play role in the markets going forward. With the Japanese yen weakening, their current interest rates at 1%. I know that they have CPI coming out this evening. Just curious, as we look at the charts back in July 2024, and they increased their rates from 0% to a quarter basis point, what that did to the semiconductors and the overall market for the few weeks afterwards. Just interested to hear what your thoughts are going forward now that we're at 1%. Thanks.
Yeah, looking at the yen, the yen carry trade, as I said just recently, earlier in the show about the financial plumbing in those headlines, that are more important, or let's say those boring factors that are more important than the headlines. This is one of them. Most investors don't really understand the yen carry trade. They don't follow it. But it is one of the most important factors in markets in the short term. You saw that, as the caller said, in 2024, we had the yen spiking in value, and the yen carry trade unwind happening in, what was that, July. I'm looking at the FXY went from 57 all the way up to 66 in just a matter of 2 months, which doesn't sound like a lot, but for a currency appreciating 20%+, that's an issue, especially when a lot of investors are short yen. That's what the yen carry trade is. You go, you borrow money in yen at low interest rates, because that's where interest rates are in Japan. They're very low. Then you take those proceeds and you go invest them overseas, typically in U.S. stocks. And as long as U.S. stocks are going up and the yen is going down, which it has for a long time because their fiscal situation is even worse than ours, you get the double whammy of price appreciation of the equity holdings, but also price appreciation of the dollar versus the yen. Because when you go sell it, you take those dollars and you transition them back into yen and you pay off the debt. That's what happens when you unwind the yen carry trade. So in many ways, it's a funding currency for this carry trade. I've talked before is they've started to also diversify the carry trade. You actually can borrow in things like Swiss franc or the euro, where their rates are low as well. And that's also something that happens. But right now, if you look at the yen, it's at a multi-year low. There's no signs that you're going to get a spike in the yen. And that's what you would need. You would need to say, okay, the yen, instead of depreciating against the dollar, it's actually appreciating against the dollar, which means that that currency risk that normally is a tailwind to returns when you're doing the yen carry trade is now a headwind. And therefore, it doesn't make sense to hold on to that carry trade, which means you sell your equities, you take those dollars and you transition them back into yen and you pay off the debt. But that's not happening now. But that's what you're talking about. That's what could happen. So despite the headlines, you have to follow the trends, and the trends are still in place with a lower yen and the yen carry trade intact. So no signs right now, could change, no signs right now that will shift in the short term. This is Invest Talk. I'm Justin Klein. We have one goal here each and every weekday is to help you achieve your own version of financial freedom. And our work continues after this final break. Let's get your questions in now at 888-99-CHART.
Invest Talk. Tell your friends they can listen live, download the free podcast, or watch Invest Talk on our YouTube channel. And they can leave their finance and investment questions anytime on 888-99-CHART.
Hey, can I have your opinion on owning physical gold and silver instead of gold and silver stocks or ETFs? Thank you so much.
I don't see a real strong argument for owning physical gold and silver. There are a lot of doomsdayers that think that owning the physical metal or metals will somehow protect them. And they think that, you know, when everything goes to hell in a handbasket, that will somehow be a saving grace. First off, I'm not that pessimistic. I think we're going through a fourth turning, and yeah, things may get a little worse before they get better. But does that mean we're going into societal collapse? I don't think so. I think we're just going through a rough period in our history, which happens usually every 80 to 90 years. And if things do get that bad, are you really... You know, I think you have other things to worry about. I'd rather have a doomsday bunker kit, for example, that would keep me and my family fed for, you know, weeks, if not months. To me, those are more important. And then if you're worried about the paper markets, you can still own gold and silver physically, but own them through an ETF. There are physical gold and silver ETFs where the gold and silver is audited, it's held in vaults, etc. If you're going to do it that way. You don't need to hold on to it in a safe where, you know, maybe your family gets robbed or whatever. I just don't think it's necessary. But to each their own. I rather own the miners. There's more leverage to the upside when things do go well. But it all depends on the risk you want to take, what's important to you, how doomsdayer are you? Or is it just a asset class allocation? In times of increasing uncertainty and fiscal largesse, et cetera. That's the way I look at it. That's the way we look at it. Not as a doomsday scenario, but just simply a time in history where harder assets become more valuable. And that's, to me, the best way to look at gold and silver allocation. Let's talk about perpetual futures. This is something that's starting to be talked about more and more. It's where you have futures contracts that never expire. You can have huge leverage, and they're already making a big impact on U.S. markets. You can trade that on Kalshi, for example. And a basket of perpetual futures tied to them has surpassed $8.5 billion in trading volume in the last few weeks. So they're rising in popularity, and this has hurt some of the traditional exchanges. And the quick question is this going to continue? Is this trend going to continue? Skeptics warn that because of their leverage that could be as high as 100-to-1, you could easily see a downward spiral during market stress. And they have a mechanism called auto liquidation. So instead of in traditional exchanges, when you get margin called, these perpetual futures just auto liquidate, which can result in massive losses during crashes, including 100%. You could lose all of it. And it's not something that you're in control of selling. It happened when President Trump announced 100% tariffs against China on October 10th, erased $13 billion in leverage positions in this market. So it's highly risky, but there are positives to it as well. The advantage is that perpetuals never expire, which means they don't have fees that can be incurred from rolling the contract like traditional futures. That is the upside. Coinbase recently said it's launching perpetual futures tied to stock indices, tracking AI, China, defense, top 100 NASDAQ companies with up to 20 times leverage. So this is a big shift potentially, but also it creates even more risk in markets, which shouldn't shock anyone. I'm Justin Klein. Remind you about KPP Financial's parallel investing. When we make a trade for our clients, make the same trade for ourselves. Same day, same price, same percentage, no front running, no special treatment. We invest right alongside our clients. We share the same risk and potential for success. And you can learn more by heading over to investtalk.com. And please tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes, Spotify, or head over to our YouTube channel and check out our videos there. And make sure to rate and review on iTunes as well. Our next webinar is coming up in less than a week, Tuesday, June 30th, 12 to 1 p.m. Pacific time. You can register over at investtalk.com. The title is Beyond the Yield, How to Invest for Your Income Needs. Independent thinking, shared success. It's InvestTalk. Good night.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.